need you. Then a few years passed. That sign came down. And another sign went up, said, Nietzsche is dead. Sign God. Nietzsche is still dead. But God is still alive and have never been dead. The late brother Marshall Kieber, who was one of the great pioneers of the gospel, it is said that he is responsible for more baptisms since the days of the apostles. But it is said that back in the 60s, when Brother Kieber was about 90 years old, he was approached by some students who was trying to just trip him up. And they came up to him and they said, Mr. Kieber, don't you know that your God is dead? Brother Marshall Kieber said, no, I didn't know that. He said, I didn't even know he had been sick. The God we serve doesn't even get sick. So you don't have to worry about anyone announcing to you that God is dead. He lives today. He lives in me. He lives in us. And that's how we know that he lives, because we can talk to him. You know, a co-worker asked me one time. We was getting ready to go to lunch. And I was pretty hungry. So on my way to lunch, I was preparing to eat when I got there. And as soon as I got my food and got it heated up, I began to eat. And the brother said to me, he said, I didn't hear you pray. And I said to him, I wasn't talking to you. I'm talking to God, and you don't have to hear my prayer to God. I can pray to God whenever I want to, about whatever I want to, and you don't have to be a part of my prayer, because this is between God and me. John said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now to our text for this morning. Psalms 119, and that particular verse that would be the verse of our lesson for today, verse 89 says, Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That one verse is powerful. Forever, it says. How long is forever? But forever is forever. It says, Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So this morning I want to talk to you from this topic. Objection overruled. You know, many of us have heard the phrase, the court has ruled. And I am not a lawyer. I'm not even a legal aid. I've never tried a case. But I don't have to be a lawyer to tell you that the court has ruled. In our country, we have the Supreme Court. And when that court has ruled, there is no appeal. You may not like the ruling. of the court. But when the court speaks, its decision becomes the law of the land. And our law books are filled with decisions made by the courts. We know that the courts are not bound by the will of the people. They don't care what you think about them. They have been appointed there for life. You can't fire them. The thing is, if you don't like a ruling by the Supreme Court, too bad. Because the Supreme Court is the authority. These nine justices, these nine men, have looked at the Constitution, and when five of those nine men agree, that will be the decision. You may not like the decision, but the court has ruled. Many black people didn't like the ruling in the Plessy versus Ferguson case, but the court ruled separate but equal did not violate the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. It did not matter what the court had ruled. Yes, it was separate, but it wasn't equal. But it did not matter. The court had ruled on that matter. And when the court rules, you have to obey the law of the land. Now, if you can understand this, the authority of the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court of the United States, if you can understand this, then you are going to have to understand the authority of the Supreme Court of heaven. In the United States, we have these nine men and women who sit on the court. But in heaven, we have three that sit on the court. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 7 says this. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 14, the Bible says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. These are the three members of the Supreme Court of heaven. And the psalmist said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, whether you like it or not, hear what the scripture said. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Someone may say that there are some things about the word that I just don't agree with. Objection. Overruled. You can object all you want, but your objection is overruled. If God said it, you are overruled. No matter how smart you are, you don't overrule the judge. When it comes to the Supreme Court, these nine justices, these nine people will say what will go on in this country. But when it comes to religious matters, God set up his Supreme Court. He does not care if you don't like it. What he says and when they speak, what he says and when they speak, they are the authority. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. You cannot split the court of heaven. They don't give opinion. They give fact. And if you don't agree with the facts that come out of heaven, objection, overruled. So when it comes down to religion, every religious matter, in every religious matter, not one, not two, not some, but in every religious matter, the court has ruled. The court has ruled. You don't have to wonder or guess about it. You have to just go to the rule book. All the cases are in God's rule book. All you have to do is go to the book, and you will find what the ruling is on that religious matter that concerns you. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says, according as his divine power has given unto you, to us, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That everything I need to know about life and about godliness that I need to know has been given to me in this holy book that we know as the Bible. So I'm not looking for a new revelation. That's why I know that the Quran is a false book. That's how I know that the Book of Mormon is a false book. And getting back to Brother Keeper again, he was preaching on one occasion, and his sermon was about distinguishing between all the different religions. And he preached on why all of these religions was wrong. And then after his sermon, a man came up to him and he said, brother, he said, you preached about how all these other religions are wrong. Now I just want to ask you, what's wrong with my religion? Brother Marshall Keeper said, what church do you belong to? The man said, the Church of the Latter-day Saint. Brother Keeper said, you're too late. Your church is too late. You just admitted you are a member of the Latter-day Saints. So if your church started after the Pentecost, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ over 2,000 years ago, any church that started after that day, guess what? It's too late. Somebody say, well, what about the Catholic Church? Too late. If you can't find your church in the Bible, that means it was too late. You know, back in the day, when the newspaper was really hot, if you wanted to get something into that newspaper, you had to have it submitted in before 12 o'clock. If it was not there before 12 o'clock, it did not get into the paper for the next day. Because the paper had already gone to press. So I said that to say this, that the reason you don't find your denomination in the Bible is because the Bible had already gone to press. That they are not there. Your religion, your church is not there because the court had already ruled and it had already gone to press. Well, we can't get them all in there this morning. But let's just see. Let's just see what the court has ruled on about salvation. Where is salvation? If we want to know the ruling of the court, we have to go to the law book. I can't tell you how I feel about it. I have to cite the ruling of the court. And if you disagree, remember, overrule. A lot of people get upset over what God has said, but the court has ruled. So where is salvation? Someone may say, you know, you can be saved, or you ought to be saved just like you want to be saved. That no one can tell you how to be saved. Well, let's go to the book, to the law book. Because remember, we said that everything that pertains to life and godliness, the court has ruled on it. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Some object because they don't believe you have to be tied down to one name. Some believe that you can have the name that you want, that you can call yourself whatever it is that you want to call yourself. But remember, the court has ruled. And the scripture said, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So there is no other way according to the rule book, according to the court, according to the ruling of the court that has come down from the Supreme Court of heaven. There is no other way that you can be saved other than what the book said. And he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Some object because they don't believe that. Objection. Overruled. The name of Jesus stands for salvation. So if you object to Jesus as the only Savior of the world, you are overruled. What about Muhammad? Overruled. What about the Pope? Overruled. What about the Archbishop? Overruled. What about Ellen G. White? Overruled. What about Buddhism? Overruled. Hinduism. Overruled. Denominationalism. Overruled. There is no name under heaven given among men whereby you can be saved other than the name of Jesus. So if anyone have any objections to that, objection overruled. You cannot be saved under any other name other than the name of Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, the Bible says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You are not a child of God if you are not in Christ. Now, what is it about that that is so hard to understand? How do I know this? If you are to be a child of God, you must hear his instruction. It must come from the rule book, from his book. The only way that you can know what God would have for you to do in order that you may be saved, you must get it from the book. You must get it from the law book. You must get it from the ruling of the heavenly court that has been sent down. We are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And if you don't believe that, if you can't go to the book and see that, you're overruled. My preacher said, you have to tarry for the Holy Ghost. Overruled. said. Just believe in your heart. Overrule. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Someone show me how you can be saved in any other way other than Christ. Can anyone show me that? Can anyone go to the rule book that has been ruled in heaven and handed down as the law of the land, as the law of the universe, and show me any other way whereby you can be saved other than through Jesus Christ? Can't do it. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 26. If you have not been baptized into him, you have not put him on. Why are you baptized? You are baptized to get into Christ. You can't run from Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3. The Bible says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. That's what the book said. Now you can find people to say all kinds of things, different things about some of everything. But what did the book say? That's what governs us. That's what we have to go by. That's what we depend upon. Because that ruling came down from the Supreme Court of heaven. And it has become the law of the universe. And it doesn't matter if you disagree with it. It doesn't matter if you don't like it. It doesn't matter if you believe something else. But your objection is overruled because it had come down from the Supreme Court. And you don't have a say-so in the matter. And you cannot change the court. Because whatever the court has ruled on, it is law. And there is nothing that you can do about it, no matter how you disagree with it or how you don't like the ruling. It is law. Have you been baptized scripturally for the remission of your sins? What were you taught? Someone say, I was baptized, but I was already saved. But I got baptized as an outward sign of the inner grace. Guess what? Overruled. The book does not say that. So whatever you are, whatever you think, whatever you believe, if it doesn't come from the book, you are overruled. Bible baptism is for the remission of sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Baptism is for the remission of sin, and you must be taught that before you are baptized, because if you do not know that and if you do not understand that, then your baptism is nothing more than just getting wet. You must understand that your baptism is for the remission of your sin. Everyone must repent and be baptized. Now, if you object to that, you overrule, because it is in the law book. The law book, it is in here. And no, it doesn't matter what you say or what I say, if it is not contained within the law book, then you and I, if I say something other than what the book says, we're overruled. because it's in the book. Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse number 45, the Bible says, "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behold Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sin to be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." He said that repentance and remissions of sins to be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So what the court's ruling is here is that everybody has to fall up under this rule, has to answer to this rule. It just didn't go for some people, but it went to all people, all nations. Jesus said it, so Peter had no alternative but to say what Jesus told him to say. But someone say, "I don't believe baptism saves up." But the court don't care what you believe, because you are overruled. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 says this: "The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer to a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." So have you been saved? Have you been saved according to the rule book? According to the ruling that came down from the Supreme Court of Heaven? Have you been scripturally saved? You see, the bad news is that if you have not been scripturally saved, you're not saved. That's the bad news. But the good news is, if you are alive, you have the opportunity to give your life to God and to Jesus Christ. Do you want to glorify God? Do you want to glorify God? Because the only way you can glorify God is that you submit to his ruling. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 31, the Bible said, "Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, then righteousness should have been by the law." We are bound by the ruling that came down from heaven. So what are some of those rulings that came down from heaven? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18 and see what the rule book had to say. "And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You see, someone say, well, any church would do, all churches is God's church. Is that what the rule book said? Go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 4. The Bible says, "There is one body." That's what the rule book said. It doesn't matter what you say or what I say. We have to go about what the law of the universe is. And the ruling that came down from heaven says there is one body. But someone said, "Brother Crutcher, that's your interpretation." That Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "And he is the head of the body, the church. Christ is the head of the body. And according to Colossians 1:18, the body is the church. So in other words, if he is head of the body and the body is the church, and then Ephesians 4:4 says that there is one body, then he must be the head over one church. Now that's not coming from me. I'm reading from the rule book. You have your copy. You can go there and read it for yourself. This isn't my opinion. This isn't what I am saying. This is what I'm reading out of the rule book that has been handed down to us from the Supreme Court of Heaven. And as we know and as we understand, when God hands down the ruling, it is the law of the universe. And it does not matter what you or I believe or what we have to say about it. We are overruled. Ephesians 4:4 say he built one church. Now someone say, Brother Crutcher, you are saying that Christ has only one church? No, that's not what I'm saying. But the scripture says that. The ruling in the book says that. The psalmist said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I don't have no say-so in the matter. I just report what the book says. I just read to you out of the book. I don't even have to try to interpret it for you. I don't have to do anything but just read it out of the book. But is that not enough? Because some people are really tough. Some people fight back and push back really hard on what comes out of the book. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22 says, and have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's what the book says. That's what the ruling is. You and I cannot object to that. Because if we do, guess what? Overrule. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 12. The Bible said, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many, are one body also in Christ. That's what the book said. One body, many members. One body, one church, many members. I have one body. I have many members. I have fingers. I have eyes. I have toes. I have legs. I have arms. I have many members. But I have only one body. Many members, yet one body. That's come down from the ruling from the court of heaven. And the psalmist said that thy word is settled in heaven, meaning it is not going to change. Just because you don't believe it or you reject it, it is not going to change. In other words, you are just going to be overruled. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 20. The Bible says, but now are they many members, yet one body. That's what the book said. What is it that is so hard about seeing what is in the book that we cannot understand? It's in the book. It's plain and simple. You can read it just like I can read it. All of us can go to the book and read what the law is in the book. Still not convinced. Romans chapter 12 and verse beginning at number 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. That's what the book says. That's the ruling that has come down from heaven. You see, I'm trying to get us to understand that God has said that his word is settled. It is not going to change, and if we have any aspiration, if we have any intention of living eternally in heaven, we got to get in line with what the ruling is. Otherwise, we'll be overruled and we'll have to face the consequences of the ruling of the court. Someone say, Brother Crutcher, you keep talking about that one body, that we just have that one body, and that one body is the church. Well, explain to me then, what do you mean by that one body is the church? What is that church? What is that one church that you keep talking about? Well, let's go to the book. All things that pertain unto life and godliness are contained in the book. If you want to know anything about life, anything about godliness, go to the book. Well, let's go to the book. In Romans chapter 16 and verse number 16, the Bible says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now, I know somebody's going to throw a temper tantrum. But the rule book has rules. There are all kinds of ways that the rule book tells you within the book that the church that Christ established is the church of Christ. Whether you like that or whether you disagree with that, it does not matter, because the rule has come down from heaven. And if we are going to be pleasing to God, if we're going to have any hope of living in heaven, the only place that we talked about, that there is no other name under heaven whereby man can be saved. There's no other place that man can be saved other than the church that Jesus Christ built and purchased with his very own blood. Now, that's what the rule book says. That's what the rule book says. So don't look at me as if this is what I'm saying. This is what the rule book saying. I'm trying to get us to look into the book so that we all can see for ourselves, so that we can make a good decision for ourselves, and then just understand that this came from God. And we cannot change it, and he is not going to change it. It is the rule, it is the law of the universe, and it's going to be there throughout all ages. And if we have any plans of living in heaven, then we're going to have to be a member of his kingdom. We're going to have to be a member of his kingdom. If it started after the day of Pentecost, it's too late. If it started before the day of Pentecost, it's too early. Peter preached the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. And the Bible says about 3,000 souls was added that day because of his preaching about the ruling that heaven had sent down. That this is going to be God's way, and it's going to be his way throughout all the rest of the life of this world. That anyone, if you are going to be saved, that this is how you are going to have to be saved. That there is no other way. I know sometimes the scriptures seem hard, but it's the truth. It's in the book. Don't take my word. Go to the book. Go. If you want me to give you a copy of everything I said, I can give you every scripture that I said, and you can go to the book for yourself, and you can see if that's in the book. Because that's the ruling that has come down from heaven. And if you object to that, objection. So this morning, if you have not become a child of God, according to what the scripture says, then you're not saved. You cannot be saved any other way. There's only one way to God, and that's through Christ. And if you have tried to come any other way, you cannot be saved that way. But as we said, the good news is that God is still in the saving business. And he has given you this opportunity at this time to make your life right with his, that he can save you, that his blood can cover you, and that in the end of time, you can be assured that you can live throughout all of eternity in heaven with God. If you're here this morning, if you have listened to the sermon, you've heard the word of God, you are now ready to repent of your sins and confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and then you are willing to go down into this watery grave of baptism to have all your sins washed away. God has given you this opportunity this morning. It is not by happenstance that you are here. It's not by chance or by just some mere fact that you just decided to just stop by today. That's God's intervention into your life, giving you this opportunity to become a child of his that you can live throughout eternity. Or if you have become a child of God, but for whatever reason that came into your life have caused you to walk away from God, to bring separation between you and God, you're here this morning also because God has thought enough of you to give you another opportunity to make your relationship to him back as it ought to be once again. So if you're here this morning, if you strayed away, God has given you this opportunity to make it right with God. Whatever your situation is this morning, the invitation is offered unto you. That as we stand to sing our invitation, we will ask that you make your request known, that we can attend to your need, and that you can leave this morning in a right relationship with God. So if you'll be standing, we'll sing our invitation song. Listen to the words of the song. Think about your soul's salvation, where you will spend eternity. If you are in a right relationship with God, heaven will be your home. If not, heaven will not be your home. Consider your soul's salvation.
songs are holy. Open the door for me. If that will be my calling, I will abide with thee.
In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, beginning at verse number 23, here we see Paul giving instruction to the church at Corinth on the mount in which they are to partake of the Lord's Supper. Paul starts out by saying, "For I have received of the Lord." He's sharing that information with him. He let them know up front that this is not from me, that it came from the Lord himself. And then he reminds them that as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, do so to the Lord. Let us go back.